Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The offensive play calling is so old school that it's just not.
That's Arthur, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been Arthur. It was Matt Canada before him, and really, it's about Tomlin's not going to hire. Tomlin's not going to do what Nick Saban did and hire a Lane Kiffin.
Oh no,
you know
he's not doing.
He's not going to do it. He's gonna, like, this is how I've won my whole life. I'm not going to change it up just because the rest of the league going one way. I'm going to do what I do, and that's going to be good enough to win you 9-10 games. But it's never going to be enough to put you in the conversation for a Super Bowl again. You know. Minnesota, to me, is the only place that makes sense if he's going to play next year. Like, if you really got it down to the brass tacks, I think he's wasting his time. Unless he just needs money, you know, I really wouldn't even bother with the Steelers. Because they're going to be what they always are, which is a 9-10 win team. And especially
with
in that division.
Pickens, Calvin, and DK Metcalf.
And
Najee Harris.
That's interesting.
And a Super Bowl caliber, maybe.
I forgot about DK.
They went and got DK, bro, now, for the other side of George.
Now, could they trade George, though?
I'm not trying to tell you it gets him somewhere. My point is just that if you think Minnesota is a decent place for him,
no, it's better.
I would just think so is – I mean, running play action for him, Arthur Smith was play action all day long.
Yeah.
Running play action for him out of that in that
right.
offense could be good.
No, you're right. That's fair. I mean, that's an interesting.
All I'm saying is it looks equally okay.
If you
in
told
terms
me
of,
that they modernized,
if it's perfect ideal conditions,
but they never modernized. They haven't modernized.
No, I'm with you on play calling, but it's Arthur Smith. What he is, he's a play action dude. If they've got receiving weapons, and Aaron Rodgers can, still get the ball there, and Najee's decent. No, it's not Najee. It's Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell now.
Yeah.
So. I don't know about that backfield holding up all year long, but my point is only that looks as decent a situation, at least on paper, as Minnesota, as good a situation for him to plug in and play as Minnesota does.
Yep, exactly right. All right, we'll come back. We need to do a send-off. We need to have a proper send-off for a cause that this show has fought for years, years and years and years.
For the right reasons we've fought
for. Some say for the right reasons.
Others don't understand. They think it's for play. It was not.
Yeah.
It's never been that.
But
you were one of them.
We're going to salute a real pioneer of the industry who is hanging it up when we get back. And then DeMichael Cole is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. From College Game Day. This is the Oprah intro, right? Big and Rich. And we got some news today that I know was deeply personal to Jason because from the very first day that we started doing this show, it was actually in our first segment, Jason said that Lee Corso, the great Lee Corso, coach, needs to step away while he still has some dignity left.
At least tell the truth as part of this intro.
All right, so maybe it wasn't quite that early, but it was one of our earlier things. I remember we had an argument about Dak and Tony Romo. You ended up being on the right side of history with that one because you said, go with Dak. I said, stay with Romo. You don't remember that one.
No, I'd forgotten
that. That was when I knew, not even joking. When we had that argument and people like responded to it and engaged with it on social media, that was the first time I felt, we can do this. We could do a show. Because all the other times we were doing a show, like your phone kept going off, you know, it was just a mess.
You were doubting me.
I wasn't doubting you. I was doubting us chemistry and your phone.
So this guy just, he doesn't, there's no personality.
But when you, but when you showed me.
He can't do anything outside Tigers basketball.
Your NFL depth, which was far beyond mine at that point. I don't even know what I was doing. But that's why I was like, all right, we can do this.
What a story this is.
But one of the early things we had was the career and the end of the career of Lee Corso. And you had been on record for saying that they were basically doing him a disservice by trotting him out there.
Thank you.
Yes. At his age.
I was looking out, this, it was in the his best interests.
Mm-hmm.
It was in terms of, you want him to walk away with dignity.
Yes.
You don't want to be have him up there at a point where he's long past the point that he should have retired and
right.
that ESPN should have said to that point. Because, again, it's about not embarrassing the legacy that has been Lee Corso on game day. That's the way I approach this. It was never about, you know, doing this comically. Now, some, you know, in a sort of, let's just be mean and take an old guy off the air. No.
Right.
It's literally like, there have been moments where it feels like with Lee Corso, I'm watching. Again, we've all had those moments with, whether it's our grandparents or whatever else, we're in a conversation with them, whatever, you know, you lose them, whatever. There's been some of that. And for those folks, man, you want to protect the dignity. It's out of respect. And so my whole thing was, it felt like Herb Street was continually trying to keep it going.
Right.
Right? And that he was the guy that, hey man, we got to have coach. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Rather than
wouldn't let him go.
Right, but in a sense where he is trying to keep Corso on and keep this going, and also, hey, you keep a check in Corso's pocket. Right, you're doing it just like with his best interest at heart. However, at some point, you realize too that you know, that everything has a you know,
it does,
an expiration date.
It does.
And you want to, as I said, in the most respectful of ways, protect the dignity that he has left and what he's done for that show.
No question.
You don't need him up there trying to be his old self.
Yes.
When he can't do it.
Well, look.
And so it was out of all seriousness and respect. And, yeah, man, I mean, I didn't do some victory lap.
No.
When you see the news today, that's not what it's about.
It wasn't that you had an agenda against the personality.
But it was sort of a, okay, now, okay. And they're going to give him the one more show.
Right.
He's 80 now?
He's 89.
89.
Yeah.
They're going to do the one more show. We're going to give him a fantastic finale. And, okay, this is the kind of what you needed to do. This is the way you should go out with a bang for Lee Corso.
It seems really easy, by the way, where to do game day for him, because Alabama is at Florida State that week.
Must be what they're planning.
I mean, he played there. So, I mean, why would they not?
Have they not already said that?
They have not announced it yet.
Okay, yeah.
But there are some other good games that week. But I think like LSU, Clemson's that week. Texas, Oklahoma, maybe is that. I don't know exactly. Texas plays somebody, some banger. But just let him go out right at Florida State where he played. Yeah, it was tough because we know what a sharp Lee Corso looked and sounded like. You know, we came up on that, and then to see this version, I mean, it's not totally dislike Joe Biden. I mean, it was like, damn.
It's Joe Biden, except in that case, he's leading us. It's not just about protecting.
Well, Lee was leading us in our college football coverage, man.
But he was not his old self.
Yeah, and
Jerry Lawler in the ring,
right,
with his shirt pulled up
over
his stomach.
That's
we didn't
right.
need that.
Yes.
Again, it's about protecting his legacy and everything else. We don't need to remember him like that.
No, we don't.
And so there's the time that you don't need to be fighting in the ring anymore.
That's right.
And again, this is maybe only somewhat comical, but there's somebody else that we now need to, now that we've come to an understanding on Lee.
Uh-huh. We have a proposal, John. And John, Jason is bringing it to the table.
I have
today.
A new situation.
Yeah.
You're just
a new one
that I'm elderly, needy.
See, you try to make it something it's not and make it funny with the Grim Reaper. I'm not coming for these men.
You haven't even.
I'm coming with respect. I'm not coming to for their end. Mm-hmm.
Before you get off Lee, I will say one of the most, if not right at number one.
Thank you for doing this.
Right at number one, most iconic Memphis sports moments of all time when he puts that head on Beale Street. That picture when I posted it,
no doubt.
It is all the damn feels. So I'm interested in the next proposal.
People have such an emotional
I'm glad you stopped,
attachment.
Brad. I'm so glad you had that.
Before we bring in the next.
Did that picture go viral? It did, didn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It framed
nuts.
The whole thing.
It's nuts.
And honestly, like. A word on because I read about Lee today because I'm like, all right, let me, you know, yeah. These were this is it. This
and it
is,
wasn't Alzheimer's, it was Parkinson's because it was the stroke. He had a stroke. Sorry, it was a stroke that he had in 2009, and that's why the health they claim on the internet it is not Alzheimer's or other things. They're saying that stroke got him there, and that's it's related to that.
So. The man has had an amazing life,
yeah.
He has had an because his parents were Italian immigrants. His father fled Italy during World War I when he was 15 years old to come to America.
Oh.
All he had was a second-grade education, his father. All he had was a second-grade education, lifelong laborer. His mother only had a fifth-grade education, and she worked in school cafeterias and boarding schools. And he went on, obviously, to have a great career at Florida State, went on to have a long coaching career, and then, obviously, the success that he has been in media. Like him, love him, however, and I think most people love him, right? How could you not love him?
Of course.
But to overcome the circumstances that he faced with parents that did not have more than a fifth-grade education as Italian immigrants, that is an amazing life.
100%.
That's the kind of life I think that should be celebrated in this country. It's like, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, immigration and things like that, hot-button issues, but when you're able to take what you're dealt and make no excuses.
Oh, then become part of the fabric of America.
That's what this thing is supposed to be. That's supposed to be, like you said, this is the firmament. This is the foundation. You come here, we welcome you here, and we build. High entropy. You know, let's build.
You're doing great.
But in all seriousness, and he's not dead.
No, this is not posthumous. This is present.
But honestly, it feels like we lost him a while ago.
Oh, my.
It does. We lost.
It was a stroke.
We lost
the stroke.
He's 89,
not Alzheimer's.
Bro. He's 89. I mean, I'm a little worried about what's going to happen to him because, you know, people embed themselves so much in what they do, and when you take that away, you know, I mean, I'm half joking, but
no.
How many more mascot heads could this guy put on? Let's be real.
I mean,
we're
going to
put one more on.
Because he was like
one more.
He's seminal.
Like, he's like saying the wrong. You know, he put on like a tiger head and he'd pick.
It's
kind of
like,
you know,
Tubby at his first press conference in Memphis.
Navy. No, wrong one. Oh.
He didn't do that.
No, he didn't. But you get what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying. A change was needed. Now, who is the Grim Reaper coming for next?
This man is 13 years younger than Lee Corso, so some might consider it controversial.
I'm excited about our next candidate.
His name?
Oh.
Is Terry Bradshaw.
Man, this is early.
Now, again, we do this with the utmost respect. Terry has asked for more duties. He likes to do the highlights and take us through them, much like a SportsCenter host would. It's hard. It's hard to listen to. He fumbles and bumbles through it. And it's unnecessary. However, I feel like Fox feels, again, hey, Terry's been a hit for us. We know he had a reality show, was actually doing well there for a while. And again, Terry, they probably feel like, hey, this is a face we've got to have as part of our studio. But that's my point, is that when it becomes for the viewer and everything else, okay, this is a struggle to get through. This isn't smooth at all. You know, are you still doing something good? And so, again, we are not seeking, we are not purposely targeting old people here. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
But there's situations that we're touching on, and they're getting cleaned up, aren't they? Aren't they? Mm-hmm. We've touched on them early, and eventually they get cleaned up. So I want to bring that to the table as our sort of the next thing we're gonna with Fox.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss and talk about until it happens. Terry Bradshaw should be next on the time to retire list.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't argue with that. He's a rough watch as well.
He's been on for a long time, and there's a legacy there. He's definitely, you know, had a proven us. I'm capable of a second career besides being a player and a great player and a Super Bowl winning player. And it's there. And there's, again, in the same, much in the same manner we talked about Lee Corso.
Yep.
You don't need to keep on doing it if he can't be Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
You know, on that same show, a proposal of somebody who did this exactly perfectly, Jimmy Johnson.
Man, he was sharp till the end, wasn't he?
And he timed it.
Perfectly.
The dismount, amazing.
Jimmy used to amaze me with how sharp he still was. So I was like, man,
right to the
this
end.
Guy might never get.
And now he's and not gone.
He's going out.
But it's like, you nailed the dismount.
Wait, you're saying he's not gone. Oh, he
not,
never.
Not passed.
Right, no. No, he went out on top.
He's on this earth. But at 81, he quit Fox. And I thought that his dismount ending on the show was the perfect mark. Instead of like having this version of what, no disrespect to Lee Corso, what we've seen happen with
him. There's one man who continues, and I think he'll be able to do it until he's 100, who continues to just beat Father Time on television.
Okay. Who is it?
Man, I really got you. I can tell you're
dug in.
John is checking his bets.
I'm totally fascinated by this subject. Because in broadcasting, we think about this.
There is one man, that I have seen that we've had forever.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He's aging, but then he's not aging because he's still sharp. And I think even if he got to 100, he would still be great.
Hubie.
No.
But he was.
He still was. He was very sharp. And I put him higher level than Jimmy Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
This man.
Into his 90s.
This man.
Yep.
I speak of.
Okay.
Is local.
Oh.
Dave Woloshin.
Yeah. Congratulations to Dave.
Can probably do it.
It's a good pick,
but
John.
I'm talking about regular television personality. Oh,
it's not Dave.
So it's not Woloshin.
Joe Burch!
Hey! I was thinking sports, so you threw me there.
I don't even know how old Joe is. I know he's been there. What are we talking, like half a century? Are we talking 40, 50 years? It feels.
Yeah.
It's been since I was a child.
Yeah.
Synonymous with Memphis
TV. So Joe graduated from CBU in 1978. So let's say he was 22.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
50.
Plus 47.
56.
So it's 47 plus 22.
My dad was born 50. So Joe, what, Joe's so late 60s?
He's like 69.
69.
Yeah.
Do you all agree with me that it feels like Joe could do another 30?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he will, unfortunately.
This is amazing.
No agenda. I had no idea we'd go
amazing.
Here. But this man is defeating Father Time. When I see Joe, I think of LeBron.
I've got another one I would like to propose on our sister station.
I'm serious.
Ron Olson could do this another 25, 30,
another
40,
round
50
of applause.
Years.
Ron Olson. Timeless.
Timeless.
That man is timeless.
Ron Olson is older than you think.
He's older than Joe.
He is older than Joe.
Okay. Well, you don't need to get his age out there.
I'm just saying he's older.
Ron is like looks younger than me. Like
his hair is amazing.
It's awesome.
More than me.
I wish I had looked like Ron.
Ron Olson is 83 years old, folks.
Shut up.
He is.
Get out of here, John Martin.
You are a hot damn
You're lucky
lie.
He likes you. He's listening right now.
No, he's not. He's doing a children's museum.
Oh, he's at CMOM till 2. That's
art
right.
Exhibit.
Yeah, he's doing the kids.
He's always doing for Memphis.
It's incredible what he is doing, though, at 83 years old.
Him and Joe, same thing. They could go on forever.
No, he is older than Joe Burch, though. He is older.
Yeah, I confirm that.
Yeah. But he's doing the art thing as well. You know, I mean, especially like, I mean, honestly, both TV and radio media is extremely volatile. You want to talk about high entropy, layoffs every other year, changes made every other year. I mean, Ron Olson has been basically doing the same thing in radio since he started, other than, you know, he was the first DJ to play Prince. You know, he says we're still working through the back channels to verify that.
Why are you trying to disprove it?
Because, I mean, it's just an easy thing to say. I mean, anybody can say that.
Pretty sure it's
Ron
factual.
Is a professional capper.
He does lie.
I know,
all the time.
But I thought that one was true.
Well, that's what he wants you to
think. I mean, okay. You have to ask him, was that fact?
He was actually the first Memphis DJ to play Nat King Cole as well.
Stop, dude.
Marconi actually was his co-host.
Yes, yes. He discovered Mozart.
Right. Violins
this
in the
is
studio.
This has been a great tribute.
We got DeMichael, right?
Yeah, we got DeMichael.
There's some legacy, man.
Yeah. DeMichael's got some work to do to be in this group, right?
Yep.
You got to do a little.
He's well on his way.
You got to have a little bit more longevity. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Let's get the break and get to him because they got shoot around coming up. So we'll have DeMichael Cole next for you. Listen to Jason John, 929 FM ESPN. DeMichael Cole is the fantastic Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Read him at commercialappeal.com. Follow him on X at DeMichael C. He joins us now, very kind to do so here before the Grizzlies get ready for a practice. And DeMichael, I got to tell you this because, you know, I mean, I'm sure folks are shooting you questions left and right about the state of the Grizzlies, about the game tomorrow, and everything else. I got to tell you this. I spent 13 years at the Commercial Appeal, and never in that time did I accomplish what you already have in your time at the CIA. I'm so jealous of you, your career, to have already been on the Dan Patrick Show. It was something that for me never happened. I never got that call. It never happened for me. And so, you know, it just kind of shows that already, man.
You passed him.
You not just passed, but it's gone. Nah, you've lapped me a couple of times. Congratulations on that, brother. And and welcome, man. We appreciate you coming on.
You know I appreciate the love. I don't look at it that way, Jason, but I appreciate you. I really do. I appreciate it.
I need one thing. If we're going to continue to do this,
I need
like a bookcase, or we're going to dress up, right? Your background area. That was the only thing I was concerned about. It looked like you had like some bare wall.
Man, I know. Usually I have my little fake screen up, but I didn't have a time. I don't know. It was something weird, so I was like, all right, it's all good, you know. But yeah, I got you. We're gonna make sure.
No, man, love you. Yeah, and I knew regularly you did. I'm just giving you.
Hey, DeMichael,
giving you stuff.
Jason's allowed to still get on Dan Patrick as a radio guy. You know, he's acting like his career is
over. No, I'm done. I'm living through DeMichael now. I'm done. I'm washed. I'm living through DeMichael now. And you're doing such a fantastic job in those shoes. All right, man. You tell us. John says, "Don't worry, Jason. They're gonna beat Dallas. Is it gonna be that easy? They're 7-3." With Anthony Davis in the lineup, what do you foresee tomorrow?
It's not going to be that easy. This Mavs team, I'll put it like this. This is the way I describe it. When you look at how they're currently constructed, I understand the vision and saying this is how you want to build a championship team. I just wouldn't have traded Luka Doncic to do it.
Right.
So you understand the vision. With the size that they have, it's going to stand out. It stood out against Sacramento. And you think about it with the Grizzlies. And I just wrote about this, too. Like, the Grizzlies, their identity offensively is solely based on impacting the paint. Like, everything revolves around touching the paint. They used to. I'm not sure if they still do it with Isalo. But with Taylor, every possession at practice, they had to touch the paint. If they scored in practice and didn't touch the paint, it didn't count. So you look at how they score in the paint right now. They're second in the league, second in paint scores, paint points scored, and things like that. That's their entire identity. Dallas, as currently constructed, just erases that.
Right.
Anthony Davis, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively. This is arguably, you know, right up there with Oklahoma City and Chet and Hartenstein, because they lead the league in paint point prevention. And we saw what Oklahoma City did against the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies had to shoot a lot of jumpers in that game.
Yep.
Ja Morant struggled. Jaren struggled when he played them earlier. Like, it's a tough type of matchup. So, can and will the Grizzlies win? I think so. But I'm not saying, oh, this is easy, they don't have Kyrie. No way. Because this is a really good defensive team. The Grizzlies won't be able to play to their strengths as much as usual. They're not going to score 60 paint points against this team unless they just, you know, turn them over a lot, which is how I think they can win, because the Dallas doesn't have good guards,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's the big advantage that the Grizzlies have. So you have to win the backcourt battle, because at the end of the day, the frontcourt battle is it's going to be really tough.
I'm concerned, DeMichael. I wonder what you think about Dallas being sort of the team that wants it more, the more motivated team too. And maybe I'm just thinking about Anthony Davis and him playing these, what, it's been 10 games now. You know, reports agent said, hey, man, we can sort of sit it out. No, he's clearly here. He feels a way about getting traded from L.A., wants to show the Dallas fans what they got. But I just think, you know, Anthony Davis looks at an OKC series maybe in a different way than a Memphis team who's been handled them do. Is there – do you think that motivation can be the same, or would you feel like – you probably with me, that Dallas comes in maybe the more motivated team here. What you think?
I think they are the more motivated team because you got two different types of motivations at play. With the Grizzlies, it's an embarrassment. Like, you don't want –
That's exactly right.
It.
Yep.
They don't want to go from the two seed to the team that didn't make the playoffs. That's right. Embarrassing. So that's what they're fighting off at this point, the embarrassing finish. Whereas with Dallas, there were reports coming out there that, like, people in the organization were suggesting to Anthony Davis, that, hey, you know, you can shut it down if you want to, you know, since you got this in. He's like, no. No way. So his motivation is, I'm worth it. Like, this whole Fire Nico thing, it's kind of like a side shot at him in a way.
Yep.
Like, because this, you know, I mean, it was Luka, but, you know, it's like,
I'm with you.
We didn't want you. You know, we wanted to keep Luka. So he's kind of in this stage where he's proving his worth. Like, remember his first game, he had that big couple quarters.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going around telling the crowd, like, I'm here. Like, that's, I'm trying to prove to you that I belong here. Like, you made a good choice in trading for me. So he's still in that process where the Grizzlies are fighting off the embarrassment. And I think if you talk about those two types of motivations, one is a little bit more powerful than the other. But I think both teams have enough motivation to come in here, play hard, and, you know, try to win this game. I thought the Grizzlies played like a motivated team against Golden State.
Oh, yeah.
But that the motivation that Anthony Davis has, I don't expect him to really have an off game.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I feel like I've been just sort of waiting for, like, this stop loss, right, as this, like, season has just continued to be this falling knife. Like, I've been waiting for this moment where, you know, somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody just, like, takes a stand and is like, this is enough is enough. And you know, in fairness, like, they have been so close. They were close against the Warriors twice. They were beating the Nuggets by 15 and they, you know, by whatever it was in the final 4 minutes before they stopped being able to make a shot. But I guess I've just been surprised that there's been no, like, last stand moment for this team. There used to be, like, you used to almost know when they were coming, but you get swept by the Thunder, you know, you get punked by the Rockets. Like, why has there not been that seemingly same pride with this group that there seems to have been in years past?
Yeah. I mean, it's something Josh said one time that really stood out to me. Like, you know, sometimes when guys are frustrated, they say some things that really catch your eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking one time, and it was during one of the interviews. It was at the end. Talking about the grit and grind era, and he was like, we need to get back to that. And I say that it stood out to me because in all the time that I've covered Jod, not to say that they don't want to be like that era, but they've always embraced that this is this generation of Grizzlies basketball. And that stood out to me. So it's something I think that's on the mind of the players. You know, like, players have said things to me before, like, this ain't us. All this losing, like, this is not who we've been. So it's a shock in a way to them, and it is something they want to correct. But that's why I've been talking about it even before Taylor Jenkins was fired. And it's not to dismiss that decision in any way, but it's to also point out the fact that when you know there's a problem and it can't be corrected with all these different tactical adjustments, that points to another problem to me, and that's the personnel. Like, and what we're seeing is, at the end of the day, you can say, oh, I want to be this great defense, I want to have this, I want to have that, but you're going into games with Zach Edegaard and Jimmy Butler, with when you play the Lakers and you got to go against Austin Reeves, you got to go against LeBron James and Luka, you got Desmond Bane guarding LeBron for large stretches. Like, it's kind of personnel too. So I think, like, they have the want to. They want to be able to close these games out better. They want to be able to, you know, win these games. I think that the effort isn't a problem right now. Like, that Golden State game, they were playing like they really wanted it, but it's just sometimes either you got enough or you don't, and it's, they don't right now.
That's where I keep going back to, DeMichael, the roster. That's where I keep ending, right? After going through everything you just did, it all comes back to roster. And so sort of in that same spirit, I'd ask you, you know, if you do clearly you're not going to try to. These players, you're not going to tell these players to lose. But if Memphis did fall to Dallas, which is a reality, I'm with you. I mean, Anthony Davis motivated. They're 7-3 with him. How important could that pick then that wouldn't convey to Washington be in fixing or adjusting this roster, right? Trying to acquire. I mean, everybody we've had on to Michael, and my guess is you're probably there too. Veteran help, using the pick and packaging with some of these young guys, maybe it's multiple, to go get veteran help. How important could that pick be, and what's the war chest look like without it?
Yeah, it's a good asset. I don't think it's a great asset because, you know, there's little value in the Grizzlies keeping that pick.
Yep.
And I always look at it from the perspective of someone else knows that too. That's not something that the Grizzlies just know. The league will kind of, you know, they will respond to you with an offer, other teams, based on the fact that we know they don't want to keep this pick. They just started two rookies last year.
That's true.
They got a roster that's full of young guys that they just extended. Scottie Pippen Jr., G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams, all these guys just signed these cheap, affordable contracts. There's no way that they really want to keep this pick. So teams will try to almost call your bluff in a way. And that's going to be, you know, the battle with that. But I do think that point is fair. Like, you want to use this pick to acquire a veteran asset in some way, shape, or form. If you don't have the pick, it gets really difficult, and you got to make some real tough decisions. And I think that's going to be the theme of this offseason. You know, when we get to that point, it's going to be some tough decisions. There's going to be some hearts that are probably going to be broken a little bit because you have so much attachment to certain players. But at the end of the day, the goal is to put a better product on the floor.
Yes, sir.
And think about, you know, Boston parting with a guy like Marcus Smart, and then they win a championship the next season.
Yep.
You know, not saying that exact move will correlate to the Memphis situation, but at the same time, that's kind of the mindset that you have to have. Like,
couldn't agree more. That's right.
Some one or two players are off the table. Everybody else, I will listen. Doesn't mean I'll act aggressively and recklessly, but I will listen. And I think that's got to be the mentality of this offseason, because once the season ends, whether that's this game or whether that OKC game, the number one question for me personally will be, do the Grizzlies trust their core three guys to lead them to a championship? If there's uncertainty in that answer, then you have to reevaluate how not only you construct the roster around those three, how you construct those three.
Right.
If you don't believe you can win with those three guys, something's got to give.
Because honestly, constructing the roster around those three is harder.
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to keep all, you know what I'm saying?
If you're going to tear,
you know, I'm not saying tear it down, but like if it's time to reconfigure, a piece has to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and that's the thing. Like, so many guys around you are going to be moving. Like, you look at Golden State the last 10-plus years, the consistency was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and to a certain degree, Kevon Looney and Andre Iguodala. But everything around that shifted. It started with Mo Spates and Barbosa and those guys and Ian Clark, and then eventually it was Jordan Poole and this whole new, you know, group of guys. So that changes a lot, but your core has to be firm. Mm-hmm. You have to really believe in that group, and you have to be able to say Ja, Biz, and Jaren can lead us to a championship.
Right. Yep. You got to find that out.
DeMichael, if you had to predict it today, so I'm certainly not, we're not holding you to anything here, but you know, I'm just so curious about what happens afterward and how this is going to go. Do you think there is a head coaching search? Whether, you know, that's, even if that includes Isolo as one of the candidates, mm-hmm. but you are talking to other folks, or, you know, do you think, I mean, we know how highly Kleiman thinks of Isolo and what they did to go get him. Right? Is there a path to where, you know, you're not doing that? You've seen enough, although we know small sample size, where you don't need to do all that. Which way you think it goes?
I don't think there will be much of a search as of right now. I think most of the search will be from conversations with Isolo about how he wants to, because they'll have assistant coach openings and whatever the case may be, how he wants to kind of construct that part of the staff going forward and things like that. But as of right now, you know, like, the one thing that's subject to change to me is, like, if they go to Oklahoma City, there's going to be low expectations, whatever the case may be. But
right.
if from an adjustment standpoint, from a, like, if you just get blown, get the doors blown off all four games, you might be like, okay, he's not ready for this. But if you, if there's clearly some issues in game one, game two, then we get to game three, and there's fix those issues or whatever the case may be and make good adjustments, and it's like, okay, he can coach. You know, I think he'll be pretty safe. Like, I really don't think there will be a real strong coaching search unless this season, you know, finishes embarrassing, really.
Hey, DeMichael, man, appreciate the time,
as
always.
Thank you so much, DeMichael. Great work, brother.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate
y'all.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
DeMichael Cole covers the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. Yeah, so I said earlier that the Thunder are the highest-rated team in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, net rating, you said.
That was incorrect. They're second. Okay. Behind the 1996 Chicago Bulls.
I mean, we're... So it's just goat. It's goat stuff. It's just goat stuff. LeBron on any of those teams?
I don't.
Zero. No.
He was on one of the top 10.
So good, you can get him in the top 10.
Actually, I think.
Could you get him in the top 5?
No.
No. Ah, must be the goat.
Must be
an MJ thing.
Would you be interested in the highest net ratings in the history of the NBA?
Well, you just told me it was the Bulls.
We got the Bulls.
OKC this year. I'm interested in the top 5.
I don't care
about LeBron down there at 9.
I'll find it during the break.
Okay.
But thanks to Michael Cole for joining
very
us.
Very much so.
On the show. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Thursday. Jason and John.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nino had a great experience when he listed his Oakmont home with Gina. Her cost-efficient tips made our showroom ready. Nino said, sold for $350,000. Gino, sit down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gino will have it bought and turned into a rental. You can't lose. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh. Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to find ESPN. I kept my promise yesterday when I picked up Riley Ruru. I said, we're going to Sonic.
What a great dad.
Buddy, you should have seen her face light up. Oh, man.
Sonic will do that to you.
I said, you want some popcorn chicken? She says, I can't have popcorn. I said, listen, now I've learned they've changed the name. It's not popcorn chicken anymore. It's premium chicken bites. See, I've learned all these things, right? But, man, we got the premium chicken bites. We got the mozzarella sticks. We got the grilled cheese. We got those salty fries. I got a Route 44. I mean, it's like, I'm serious. My mood was better because I stopped inside with my kid. I don't know if you have kids, but whether you do or not, it's gonna make your day if you stop through at Sonic America's Drive-In.
Beautiful imagery, John. What a beautiful memory that you made with Riley at Sonic. You can get her the new Junior Chicken Sandwich as well. They're just $1.99. They're on that Fun 99 menu. Comes in original or honey chipotle. You can have a little fun with Sonic, too. Make some memories yourself. Make sure you download the Sonic app. Pays to do that. Live free. Eat Sonic.
All right. We're back. Jay and Jay. 929 FM. Thanks to DeMichael Cole for joining us the show. Again, very light night in terms of stuff that you would care about. Basically nothing. I mean, you got baseball. Don't care about that. There was some news in the NBA that Damian Lillard is going to actually make his return in the postseason. He was he was dealing with that thrombosis that Wimby had, and he has been cleared. He has been cleared miraculously, and he's no longer on the blood thinning medication. He's not going to play on Saturday, but obviously, you know, there is a chance that
it looks like he's going to play. Yeah, in the playoffs at least.
Yeah.
Whereas at one point you wondered about that.
What do you make of the Bucks with Lillard? They didn't have Giannis last year, right? Giannis was not in that series against the
seems correct.
And then they had Led Lillard, but they didn't have Giannis. So we haven't really seen them in a series together yet.
It's more about the path because I believe in the Cavs. I think the Cavs might be ready to knock off the Celtics, although I would certainly lean Celtics because of the experience. I just think Cleveland's legit. I could be wrong. I could be fooled here. But I think Cleveland will take care of even a Buck squad that includes Damian Lillard. It's their time, it feels like, in the East to at least measure itself against Boston, not the Bucks.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think with Doc.
They'll get past Pacers, though. I mean, the Bucks are the 5 seed.
Yeah.
They'll get past the Pacers, right? If you got Dame for some of that, you will. And I think they might without him. But either way, I think they'll run into a bit of a buzzsaw with the Cavs. I think the Cavs are legit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for the – I hope Eastern Conference Finals has got them in Boston. I'm looking for 6-7 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Just over the we talked about the Nuggets-Clippers series. That one has flipped, right? So the Nuggets opened as -165. They're now +110. So, I mean, all the money has come in on the Clippers. And, again, I think deservedly so because when Kawhi Leonard is healthy in the playoffs, haven't his teams always done well?
Yes.
Like, I feel like every year if he's healthy in the postseason, like, those teams go to, like, the semis at the very least.
Mm-hmm. And they have ramped him up, and what, he had 33 or whatever it was in that last game he played to match his season high.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was something like 21 of the last 25 that they played he was in. And so he looks healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting a high-level James Harden still and Norman Powell in a career year. We've mentioned Zubac. I love the Clippers as the the biggest threat to OKC. That's where I've got it. Again, could be wrong, but sort of handicapping this thing going in. I love Clippers. I think they're going to take care of the Nuggets.
So 1920, they went to the semis.
Mm-hmm.
2021, they went to the Western Conference Finals. He didn't play in 21-22. 22-23, let's see what they do. They went to they did lose in 5 to the Suns. Although wasn't he hurt?
I think that seems right where he was down.
Yeah.
Or badly, you know.
Yeah, I feel like he was hurt in that one. And then let's see what they do last year. They lost to the Mavs in the first round. So, I don't know. It's kind of, hit or miss. But mostly when he's healthy, they tend to do very well.
He seems to be.
Yes.
Is what I would point to.
Very healthy.
From the way the games were played there down the street.
Now, I promised you before we got out of here, the best NBA regular season net ratings in the history of the league.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is from Basketball Reference. Number one, we talked about Chicago Bulls 1996. 13.4 net rating. They won a championship. 2025. Oklahoma City Thunder are 2. In fact, let's just frame it this way. Of the top 5 is the 96 Bulls, this year's Thunder, the 97 Bulls, the 2017 Warriors, and last year's Boston Celtics. That's your top 5.
Mm.
The 4 teams whose seasons completed and are done all won titles.
Wow.
And OKC is number 2. So history would tell you they are going to win the title. Other teams in that are in the mix for top 10, the 2016 San Antonio Spurs, the 08 Boston Celtics title, 92 Bulls title, 71 Bucks title, 2016 Warriors, would they win like 73 games? They lost in 7, right, to the Cavs. blew the 3-1 lead, but they were well on their way to a title.
Yeah, Draymond got roped in.
72 Lakers, title. 2015 Warriors, title. So, and then the other two are the 72 Bucks who lost in the conference finals and the 09 Cavs. There's your LeBron team.
Is that StatMuse or something? What are you using?
It's a basketball reference.
That is a basketball reference. Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, odds on you're winning the title if you're on this list, right? So, it's kind of amazing that this year's Celtics aren't on the list. And I think the other stat that I saw is that of those top five, the Thunder had more games lost by starters than any of them. And they still wound up where they wound up.
Doesn't bode well for my Clippers is what you're telling me, bro.
Yeah. They lost 92 games to starters. Nobody else was even close. Hmm. The next closest was the Celtics last year, who were at 67. So these dudes aren't taking names. They're not taking prisoners, and they're not taking names. So I don't really want to play them.
I don't either.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to all of our guests that joined us on the show today. Thanks to Rob Fisher. Thanks to Zach Davis. Thanks to Michael Cole as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.